Pues by the excellence, your Ruah, O Maria, we are into the bier of our great King to worship, to berak, blessings that flow from the inward parts unto the excellency of your throne, as we lift up the name of Yahshua the Lamb, the promise, the hope for Yisrael. We are glad, as David said, one more time that we have the opportunity to enter into the presence of our Abba. And so our love rejoice. We may come before your presence again to offer up Torah unto our great and mighty Creator, Yahweh the Most High, the Excellent One, that created all things for His honor, for the excellence of His name. And so as we worship You this day, as we call upon Your name, for Your gentle kindness toward us all, for Your sustaining Ahava, You have shown unto Israel, we will praise You and honor You with all that You have granted unto us to do so. For our voices shall be lifted up, our hands shall be raised, we shall declare with our mouths how great You are, Yah, and how excellent Your Hamashiach Yahshua is. Bless Israel this day. Look upon Your people scattered throughout the nations of the world. Your shalom upon Jerusalem, and Your comfort care upon the host of Israel. Bless them, I pray, Yah. We pray for those that are suffering afflictions in their bodies, the agonies of pain. We do pray for them, Almighty Yahweh, that their sins are forgiven and that Your healing power sustain them. For we know that You are the healer. For You declare that there is no healing in their medicine, their healing balm, there is no healing. We come to Gilead for the healing of Yahshua. Heal Your people, I pray, that the strength of the witness of Yahshua will be visible in them, and that men will know that we are the healed remnant of Israel. We are blessed today to be able to enter into Your presence. Let all things be done for Your honor tonight. Everything that is said to magnify and to lift up the mighty one of Israel. Your shalom upon Jerusalem. Our enemies, we bless those that come against us and despise us, we bless them. For we forgive all those that have transgressed and trespassed against us. There will be no ill or no aught in our Ruah against any man, any woman, any brother or any sister. We ask it all in Yahshua's mighty name. We trust You for the victory and deliverance. In the mighty name of Yahshua, the Lamb of Israel, we shabak You, we praise You. Yahshua's mighty name, Israel cried hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Voiced by the excellence of your Ruah, O Maria, we gather here this Scripture Truth evening. We pray that You pour out Your anointing upon Your manservant, that he may speak with simplicity of the delicacy of the truth that You have granted unto Israel. Bless the ears to hear, the eyes to understand, and the love to receive with great affection. We ask it all in Yahshua's mighty name, and all those that are ill this day, we ask in Yahshua's mighty name. Israel cried hallelujah. 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 Look to your neighbor and say, my friend, with the word of Yah, Speak to me tonight. We will see. Inshallah. Ya Barak, you may be seated.
But we do Barak, ya, for all things. Bless him for his Hamoshiach, his promise unto Israel that the Messiah would come and that he will break every bondage of darkness, break the shackles of Israel, that we will be free to worship and to serve him. And so may he strengthen us all tonight, because the strength and the witness of Yahshua to be real in Israel. And once we know that that is real, then we can do all things through Yahshua. For he is the strength of Yah unto Israel. I'm glad about that, because I find in myself no strength at all. I find no virtues of my own self, but I find it all in Yahshua. For he is the great power of Yahweh that lives in me. For as far as I am concerned, there is no tough thing that dwells in me at all. Yahshua has rid us of those things that combat or war against the pure standards of Almighty Yahweh. And I'm glad for that. I know I am. Because I know the mess that I have caused myself to be befallen to. I know the things that I have been overtaken by. And I know the seduction of my own lusts, where it leads me. It certainly does not lead me into the presence of Yahweh. It leads me far from him. It leads me into a place whereby it's nothing but death, corruption, and it destroys one. I do want tonight, brothers and sisters, with great simplicity, I do want to take my time, and I'm going to try all that is within me to exercise that measure to do things in more of a methodical, and that is precise, with precision, each step of the way, and to make sure that there's a clear understanding, that you may understand the simplicity of Scripture. And this is a simple truth. You know it has to be simple for a people as common as we are to understand the great nuggets and the great wealth that is written in the scroll that has been revealed unto us by the true witness of his son Yahshua. So we don't have any kind of intelligentsia. I don't even know what the word means. They have definitions for it, but it doesn't mean anything at all. We don't try to master those things. We want to please him above all things. And what I want to emphasize tonight, I really want to take my time. As I was riding with Sister Roberts on Monday, I said to her, as I, on the first day of the week, I told her, Yah, for the tremendous amount of rain, 3 inches or better. Of course, if it's one thing that I measure, that is the rain. I have rain gauges around here, and I go out and I check them, and I shout to the honor of Yah that he has sent rain upon the earth to replenish it. And so, as it rained on the first day of the week, I do take great comfort in those days, because it was somewhat chilly, and I could take time with Almighty Yah and simply study the simplicity of Scripture and see what Scripture says about certain things, that our understanding may be clear, and that we may have a tremendous understanding of what Yahweh is trying to convey unto us. And once we get that, then we can walk in the strength of assurance continuously. We will not be weak, we will not be up and down, but we will be a steadfast people with the strength of our great King. There's nothing like having the assurance of the King and the backing of the King. For the King commands, and the subject listen to what he commands. The King instructs, and all must pay attention to what the King instructs. Whether they like it or whether they do not like it, they must all listen to what the King instructs. I began to dialogue with my wife, and I said to her, it is one thing that the beauty of Yahweh's love, his ahava, his ahabab, either way you want to enunciate it,
It has tremendous facets and tenets to it. And we must understand the specifics and the preciseness of the Ahava of Yah, His love. And I said to my wife, as I began to study in Scripture, and as I began to look in the details of what Scripture implies, because I'm an ignorant man, I do not understand word definition in the Hebraic terminology or in many instances the English vernacular. So I have to utilize resources that will enable me to get a clearer understanding. And once something is clear unto one, then you have a tendency to rejoice with a greater depth in that understanding. When you can thoroughly understand a thing, it brings an enlightenment to one. So it causes the enlightenment of the joy or the strength of Yah to rise in one. And I said to her, it's one thing about the beauty of love, where it begins and how Scripture expresses it. And I want to begin in Scripture. And I want to begin in Mishlei, Proverbs. In chapter 5. And there is a specific verse I want to begin at. I want you to understand. I want you to listen. Elder Martin said to me one day, Pastor Roberts, because we were talking, he said, it would be nice after you preach, then the Scriptures or what details you utilize to hand them out in handouts. Well, that sounds well. I know that there will be only a few that will utilize it. And I do not want to waste the ink and the paper or the people that are so consumed with sensuality and fleshly things that the things of Yah, there is no great compassion for them. Hallelujah. And so those that have ear, they will hear what the Ruach of Yah speaks on to Israel. And I said to Sister Roberts, I want you to understand where the very profound seat of the Ahava of Almighty Yahweh is. It is one thing about the beauty of the daughters of Zion when they are true daughters of Zion. That's why I speak to you young ones. Do not give yourself over unto the pollution of the world. Because there is something that is vital about every aspect of your physical body. And so Yah speaks unto us in Mishlei, Proverbs 5:19. And this is what the word of Yah says. It says unto the son, first of all, we must have the wisdom of Almighty Yahweh to understand what he is expressing. And so he says to the young man, he says to you, let her or let your wife be as the loving Ahab hind and the pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy you all the time. Now I am ignorant, my brothers and sisters. What is the significance of this? Her breast, and what does it represent, or what is the value and the importance? As I began to understand the Hebraic meaning, and that word breast, or her teeth, or her nipples, it actually is enunciated to her dads. And that is the seat, it is the seat of Ahava, it is the centrality and the shape of what true love is. And that is why Yah says to the young man, enjoy her breasts, her dads. And one thing that has happened, I will take us into great depth. It is one thing that has happened in this nation. The breast of the woman is exposed today. There is no consideration of her breast. That's why the women today do not breastfeed their babies, because it retracts from the centrality or the shape of love that is formed in them. These are not some kind of wasted words that Yah speaks unto us, or to create some kind of erotic emotion. That is not the case here. He is saying to the man, I have given you one that I command you to love. These are the expressions of his love. I want us to understand. He says to him, enjoy her breasts. Enjoy her teeth, because this is the dot, or this is the central. This is what the shape of love is. Now that is what it means. Even though you spell it the same way the English vernacular would say dot, that is what it represents. Her breasts, her breasts is the shape, it is the centrality of where love flows from. So it was with Yahshua.
It says in the renewed covenant that when he began to expose, he knew the one that would betray him. Scripture says that Kepha laid his head upon his breast. That's what scripture says. He laid in Yochanan. He said, and Kepha laid his head upon his breast. Because he knew that there was where the centrality or the shape of love that would flow from HaMashiach. And the world has taken this beauty of the daughters or the women in this hour. And it has taken the thing that Yah gave unto woman to express the beauty and the expression of his pure hava as she raises the child, as she feeds the child, as the milk or the breast milk flows from her. It is the symbol, it is the metaphor, it is a sign of the pure love of Almighty Yah. And what has the enemy done? He has caused the women to become naked. And their breasts, they have allowed the world to play with their teats and their breasts. They'll open up themselves to every kind of unclean spirit. At a young age today, they understand what is protruding from them. And all of a sudden, they want to express it to everyone that they have breasts. And so the world has taken her teat and the world has bruised it. But that is the central. It shapes the love of Yah. And the breast is the seat of the love of Almighty Yah. That is where the love of Yah flows from the breast. And he gave that to woman to show the very strength and the power and the shape of this nurturing care and this love that Yah nurtures us from his bosom as Kepha laid in the bosom of Yahshua. We need that nourishment and that nurturing from Yah from his bosom. That's why we're anemic today, and that's why we don't have the strength and the sufficiency to love him with the pure honesty and a forthright love. The enemy has done a magnificent job to destroy that. It is a beautiful thing, young daughters. Do not give your breasts over unto the world to bruise it. Do not wear the things that reveal the beauty of this essential of love that Yah has put down in your breasts. You save that for the husband of your youth, that he may enjoy the beauty of your love that flows from you. That's what Yah wants us to do, my brothers and sisters. This is not to espouse some kind of erotic emotion, but this is in the book. These are not my expressions. This is what the book says. And the world tells you to expose it, to flaunt it, to make it available for everyone to see. My daughters of Zion, you keep that for the husband of your youth. You keep your bosom, whereby he will enjoy the fragrance of that love. And he will know that it is in the seat of your bosom. And in the seat of that bosom, there will flow a tremendous beauty of love, a hava that flowed from you. That's why many women today are hardened. Because their teats have been bruised by the world. They have no power to love. They don't know how to love because their teats have been bruised by many men. And there's no confidence in their bosom of what love is. We must have confidence of the love, the Ahava of Yah. Everything that he made, the form of man and the woman, it was for his honor. And to show the excellence of his beauty. And the enemy has taken the very thing that Yah placed on a woman. And he has exploited it. He has exploited it. Yah says that dot is the seat of Ahava. It is the shape of love. It is where the love flows from. I'm an ignorant man. Unless I study the book, I don't know. And so that's why Yah avail us time that we may study to show ourselves approved, and that we may talk from a position or teach from a position that we understand what we're talking about. We may not know all the details. We may not can analyze every concept and every aspect. But we can speak from a platform that it will create an understanding. A well will be opened that you will begin to draw from it. And you will begin to search the depths of the well. And so the beauty of her breasts, it has great significance. The Ahava
the great expression of the love of Yahweh. And so the world says, show me your breast because I love your daughters. You keep yourself covered. And the husband of your youth, Yah says, you ravish yourself in the beauty of that love. You take advantage of the beauty of that love that flows because it flows from the inward parts of the depths of this that the woman that I've given unto you. And so we cannot, my brothers, we cannot, sisters, allow ourselves to be given over unto the heathenistic practices that the world performs. And so the women today are having augmentation and their breasts being expanded. It is not a seat of the Ahava of Almighty Yah. It has been bruised by Mizraim. It has been bruised by Egypt, the lust and the corruption in all of the vile things. It is the seat of love from which love is, the shape of love is revealed. The breast, the nipple, the cheek. It is where the very flow of love flow from. And the enemy has corrupted that today. There's where the flow of love of Yah flows from his breast. For the word, the love of Yisrael, his heart was made flesh. We beheld the honor of the mighty one of Yisrael. Look what it says in Yahkahan. I want to read this. In John chapter 13, verse 25, it says in Yahkahan 13:25, when Yahshua, he began to comfort the Shulishiams, knowing that the betrayal would come from Yehuda Iscariot, as he began to speak, Scripture says in verse 25, he, Kepha, then lying upon Yahshua's breast. Does it say that? He laid upon the breast of Yahshua, saying to him, Sovereign, who is that one that shall betray you? Yah, there's nothing like lying in the breast of Almighty Yah, in the comfort of his Ahava. It's nothing more valuable and more intrinsic than a wife lying in the breast of a husband, or the husband lying in the breast of his wife. Because there is a seed of love as it flows from one another. And these things are not even practiced today. That's why we cannot even lay our heads in the bosom of one another. We cannot do that. You know, it's one thing about Evangelist Horn. I don't care what situation that we were tried by. It was one thing I could always do to that large, massive man. I could take my head and lay it in the man's bosom, and he would take his large hand and lay it upon my head. Why? Because the flow of the essence of the Ahavavia, it flows from the bosom. We have allowed our bosom to be intoxicated. We have allowed Mizraim, Egypt, to play with your breast and your mind, and to expose the seat of the Ahavavia. And so it's not the pure flowing fragrance of the savoring smell of the Ahava of Almighty Yah. He tells the daughters of Tizayan to open yourself and press your boobs higher that men may see it. Don't allow Yisrael. Yisrael, don't allow Mizraim to press your teats and to press your breast, daughters of Zion. The beauty of Yisrael is that she is a woman unto Almighty Yah. Yahshua is coming back for his bride. And when he comes back, he's coming back for teats that have not been pressed by Mizraim. He is not coming back for augmented teats. He's coming back for the pure fragrance of the sincerity of the emet of the truth of Yah in the bosom of his woman. He is not going to lay his head in a breast that is full of harlotry and every kind of sinful, adulterous activity. He is not going to do that, my friends. And so the world presses you to do that. That's why, listen, daughters, many women today do not understand the expression of love because their teats have been pressed by Mizraim. And the center of the shape of her love has been formed by the spirit of Mizraim. And she does not know how to move in the Ru'ah of the Ahava of Yah. The enemy knows what he is doing. He has masterfully worked against the very pure things of Yah. It's more than just a gland to feed the baby. It has great significance of the forming and the shaping of the house of Israel and where the Ahava of Yah flows. That's why many of you are cold and hardened, because your breasts have been pressed by Mizraim, your teeth have been bruised by the wicked one, and now you need Yahshua to heal it. You need Yahshua to heal it. You need to get him in your bosom and allow him to heal your breasts and to heal your teeth. Because if he doesn't heal your teeth, then there will never be the flow of Yah's true Ahava that flows from you. Yisrael, unless Yahweh heals your dart, your teeth, then we will never allow the shape or the form of his Ahava to be shaped in our minds and to be shaped in us at all. So we must allow HaMashiach to heal our teeth, Israel, to heal our breasts, that Yah may lay his head in the bosom or the breast of Israel, and he may sense this form of Ahava that flows from us, because we love, we have great aspiration in his imat, his truth that he has granted unto Israel. And this is what we know as the Hava love. It is not that. I will show us in scripture. I will show us the kind of love we have. It is not based upon the pure intrinsic values of the Ahava of Yah. So the Ahava, the love of Yah, begins in the breast. It begins in the bosom of Israel. Hallelujah. We cannot allow the enemy to bruise our teeth. Look what happened in Yeshkel, Ezekiel. I'm going to finish this course tonight, all right? It says in Ezekiel, Yeshkel, chapter 23 and verse 3. He says, as he speaks unto the house of Israel, he says, they have committed a great whoredom. Verse 3, he says, and they committed whoredom in Mizraim, in Egypt. They committed whoredom in their youth. He said their breasts, their shad, was pressed. Their breasts have been pressed, and they bruised the teeth, the dart of their virginity. Their virgin nipples have been squeezed. They have allowed their virgin, their pure nipples to be squeezed. They have allowed this virgin Ahava of Yah to be squeezed from them. So the world dresses you in a way to squeeze this pure desire or this virgin nature of Yah. It has been squeezed from you because the world has bruised her teeth, her dart. That is in the book. It is not my expression. We must understand that we may think of these as allegories, but these are truths of profound significance for Israel. He said, in your youth, in your virginity, in your pure mind, you allowed yourself to be convinced by the world what love is. And I will express the love or the Ahava. It is not the Hava of Yah. I will show you what that love is based upon. But Yah's love is based upon that which is intrinsic pure. It flows from his bosom. That is why the word of Yah, the heart, the intention, the integrity of Yah was made flesh. And we beheld the power of this true word in his son Yahshua. It is one thing you must have Ahava, the pure love of Yah, to have truth. You cannot have truth and not have his Ahava. For the truth is based upon loving Yah with all and loving your neighbor as yourself. And sometimes we don't love very well, do we? Sometimes our Ahava, it is not one that flows from the bosom, does it? It flows from actions that are created by the fleshly manifestation, but it doesn't flow from the love of Almighty Yah. He says to Israel, Ahalaba, that your teeth have been bruised. Your dart, your love for Yah has been bruised. Because we, in our youth, we try to play and position ourselves one foot in the world and one saying that we love Yah. One trying to appease the natural kind of things and trying to be a part of the secular things and thinking that that was going to bring unto us the satisfaction that we were actually looking for. And yet it began to bruise our teeth. It began to bruise your nipple. And so there was no pure hava that flowed from you unto you. There was no seed of pure love in us unto you, but yet in his bosom. For Yeshua has come from the bosom of Yah. Yet there is a shape of his pure hava for Israel. I want to tell us and to speak to us with warning, with simplicity. As he has granted unto us much love, he expects the same unto him. For Yah so loved you that he gave his bosom to prove it. And so we must give our bosom. We must allow the healing balm of Yeshua to begin to heal the teats, the dart of Israel. For what comes out of our breasts, it does not show the seed of love. And that is what the teat or the dart represents, the seed of a hava. And the enemy does all to destroy, doesn't he? He wants you to press your teeth. He said, your breath has been pressed. So everything that these homo twisted-minded men design today, it is to press the breath, isn't it? Because they want the nip of the teeth to be bruised and the teeth to be seen. And there are things, my daughters, the garments that we can wear, that you all can wear, that will literally bruise the teeth. And the clothing that we put on is not the clothing of Sadiqa. It will bruise our bosom, our breast. It will cause damage in our breast. We cannot wear this camouflage garment of the world, this garment of deceit and lust, because it bruises us. We need to have on the garment of Sadiq, the righteousness of Yah. We need to have on that garment. The garments of Mizraim, they will always bruise your teeth. What the things of this world, the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches. If a man loves the world, then the ahava of the Abbas not in him, because it bruises your teeth. There is no flow of the sincere milk that flows from us. None whatsoever. And Yah wants this sincere, sweet-smelling savor to flow from us. And it flows from the breast. And he says to us, the breast of the woman, it is the metaphoric of the symbolic nature of the seat of the pure Ahava of Almighty Yahweh. So the enemy says to you, to the women of the world today, you throw down your bras, you don't have to wear them, you give your babies Similac, and you don't feed them from the bosom of Ahava. And so that is what has happened today. And that is why the babies are sick and malnourished. Because it's one thing that Ahava does. It strengthens, doesn't it? One can be on the dying bed as long as they have those around them that they sense this pure affection for. It gives them strength to go beyond the gate of death. It brings that nature fear on the subjection of that love. And they're not fearful, not at all. And they sense that Ahava. We've allowed the world to bruise our teeth. And so the shape of our love is shaped in what we think Yah is, or what we can procure unto ourselves. That is not so. I want to express to us the tenets and the different shades of the Ahava of Yah, because in this realm we're going to need that. And many times we don't understand that it is His love, His Ahava, because we don't understand the very tenets of His Ahava. We think that He is doing us wrong, and Yah is showing us that this is the pure expression of my Ahava. He is showing us that. It says in Bereshit, in Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, Genesis 6 and verse 8. I want us to understand as we discover the tenets of the Ahava of Yah. It says, and Noach, he found unmerit. I know what it says in the KJV, but it says he found this unmerit hand, love, and favor in the eyes of Almighty Yahweh. Now this Hebraic expression of this hand, it shows the favor of Yah. It shows Yah's acceptance of one. It shows Yah's charm toward those that he has elected. And that is what Noah, he found. He found this unmerited love of Yahweh because he had not done anything to merit it. We have not done anything to merit the Ahava of Yah. And he found this charm and this favor of Yahweh in the bosom of Almighty Yahweh. And because of that, he saved him and his house and declared him to be the one to carry the message of the destruction that shall come upon the land and the nations of the world. In this hour, we need the hand, the favor, and the acceptance of Almighty Yahweh. It is one thing that the element of pure love, you will have favor for your brothers and your sisters. You will show them a charm. There are us in here, some of you, that have no charm that emanates out of you. And that is what the Ahava, the hand, when it is expressed in that Hebraic expression, the hand, it shows a charm. There's nothing like a wife having a husband that is charming. There's nothing like a man coming home and his wife is charming. She is acceptable and she shows him favor. There's nothing like that. When we come home to Yah, there's nothing like his favor, his acceptance that he shows unto us. And that he smiles upon us. And that is what the hand of Yah does. That we show acceptance unto one another. And we show some bit of charm one unto another. And we express that charm. Some of us, our countenance are so dead. There's no life of the charm of Yah. Hallelujah. Because Mizraim has bruised your teeth so. Has pressed your teeth. So there is no shape of love in your expression. Your attitude, your physical form, you understand the physical form of that breast, that teeth of a woman. It shows the shape of love. Yah's Ahava has a shape. It forms something in us. It forms his pain. It forms his charm. His acceptance. We will accept the world, but we do not accept Yisrael. Isn't that so? Oh, it is the truth. We will show charm to the world's strangers. But when it comes to Yisrael, we don't show charm, do we? And Noah found favor. Yah was charmed by him. He said, I accept him. I know he has flaws, but that's all right. I like him. I appreciate him. Hallelujah. And that is what we want the Abba to say unto us. Hallelujah. In order for us to get in that position, then we must do like Noah. We must walk upright before him. Well, how do we do that? By taking heed to the counsel of Almighty Yahweh. By hearing to what he instructs us in and what he commands us. And so his Ahava has a great element of charm. It has a tremendous, the essence of it is of great acceptance. Because it is Yah's Ahava. It is not your Ahava, because our Ahava, it is twisted. It is based upon lust. It is not based upon from the flow of the truth that flows from the bosom of Almighty Yahweh. Hallelujah. Scripture also points us in Deuteronomy, Devarim 5 and 10. Devarim 5 and 10. It says this. And Yahweh showing mercy to thousands of them that have a great affection for him. Yahweh shows mercy unto thousands of them that are hab him and keep his mitzvah. Deuteronomy 5:10. Now those are the ones that Yah shows his great mercy. unto those that are hard. There's a great affection for Almighty Yah. Well, how do we know we have that affection for Him? For we delight in His Torah, His Mitzvah are delightsome unto us. It is not grievous. It is not something that shackle us or binds us. But it creates the liberty of Almighty Yah in our bosom. That we may show this pure ahava, this great love toward Him. This love that is based upon pure affection. It's not based upon emotion, but there's a deep-seated affection. Well, how do we know we have the affection? Well, we know that Yah had the affection for us. For He gave Yahshua, did He not? But then our affection for Him is that we have a great delight in the mitzvah, the instructions, the government of Almighty Yah in our lives. When we despise that, the counsel, the correction, then we have no affection for Him. And we are people that despise that, do we not? We do not take delight in the corrections of Almighty Yah, for whom Yah loves, ahava, He chasteth. Whom Yah has affection for, He corrects. Whom Yah delights in, whom He's charmed by, He corrects them. He shows them the right paths. The disciplines that produce this great emotional expression unto Him with great affection. Because we have been so bruised by Mizrayim, then the pure flow of His ahava, it must break through this stony, fleshly thing that we call a heart. Because our minds and our attitudes are adamant. We must allow Yah to break us. We must allow this battle axe to break us. We must allow this word to break us and to break us down and truly identify what is in us to show us how our teeth have been bruised. And then you must live fall before Yahshua, for He has the healing balm to heal your teeth. He has the power because He is a Hava. To shape that form of ahava in us with affection, with charm, with acceptance. We can't get it any other way. It's not going to be done by any form of discipline we try. It's not going to be done by me trying to have love for you. It's not going to work. I cannot do it. I must have the Ruah of Yah in me in order to express that. Why? Because the Ruah of Yah, the Ahava of Yah, is spread abroad in our life by His Spirit. We must have that. We need the Ruah of Yahshua, the Spirit of Yahshua in us. We can have this fabricated thing we call Ahava, but it's not of the essence of what Yah's love is expressed in the stroll. It does not carry the tenets of the love of Yah expressed in the book that we read. Because there are elements of His love for every situation, in every circumstance, that His Ahava, His love, is applicable for every situation. And that's why when we began to understand the intricate powers of that, we are never upward. Down, we're always in the bosom of Yahshua because we delight in all things that Yah grant unto us. For these trials, tribulations, afflictions, we trust Him because our love permits us to do that. Our love permits us. Hallelujah. Scripture says in Bereshit, Genesis 29, I want to show you this type love, because Yahshua says unto us that He call us no more, Bereshit, Genesis 29:20. He call us no more servants, but what? Friends. So there is an ahava, a love that is expressed in this relationship of friends, that Yah calls us His friends. And it says here in Bereshit 29:20, and Yaakov, this blessed my love, as Brother Dave would say, this it was profound here. And Yaakov served 7 years for Rachel, and they seem to him but a few days. Do you all understand that? It was nothing, it was no time considered, because just the proximity of that hava, that those days passed without any disturbance. I say to you, my brothers and sisters, we began to have that kind of a hava, one for another, wife for husband, husband for wife. It would seem as though the day is not long enough for your friendship and the development of your friendship to be sustained. You long for their presence. You long for their visible sign of them in your presence. I long to see Yahshua. Let him come. Hallelujah. There shall be some alive when he comes. A small remnant. It says that Jacob, he served 7 years for Rachel, and it seemed but a few days. For the love, for the ahav, for the love, the ahav he had for her, it was greater than anything that imaginable. And this ahava, it is a love that when one is truly a friend to another, when we are truly friends with each other, that it is no detriment or no pain of affliction when we're in the presence of each other. There's no sadness because we're in the presence of each other. We enjoy the fellowship and the company of one another. Ahav. This love is one that is, it shows the excellence of a beautiful friendship. And we ought to be friends one with the other. We cannot, any man that is a friend of the world, then he's an enemy of Yahweh. You cannot be a friend of the elements of the world and say you love Yah. How we have friendship with those that are of the world, in the world, and their conversation is not about Yah. And yet when it comes to the people of Yahweh, we do not show this kind of a ha-ha, this kind of love, that it is pleasing to be in the fellowship of one another. It is a great delight to be in their fellowship. And the time passes so quickly, you say, oh my goodness, the time has passed. Yet we can fellowship with the world, and time seems to eclipse, and you don't want to leave the presence, but yet, Yaakov, Rachel, it was not a detriment to him to serve all those years for her. Because he had a great ahava. It was an ahava, a love. The strength of their love was based upon their friendship. And a friend loveth and cares for one another at all time. Yahshua is a friend of Yisrael. And he cares for Yisrael all the time. He loves Yisrael. He does. And he show himself friendly. Yah says he will show himself friendly to those that are friendly. And he will show himself abrasive unto those that are abrasive. And so he shows himself friendly unto us because he is our friend. What a friend we have in Yahshua. All our sins and our griefs he bears. What a privilege that we can take all things to him. Yah wants us to understand the beauty. It's a complexity there, but it's a simple complexity. He wants us to understand his ahava that he has for Yisrael. It's not just based upon something that is distant. A friend has a closeness. There's attachment there. And he is saying unto Yisrael, there's more than that, a distant love. But there's an attachment that I'm attached to you. I'm joined unto you, Yisrael. Come on, husbands and wives, that is why the expression of a marriage, it expresses, it has all the boundaries of this pure hava of Yahweh. But my brothers, you must be willing to be taught and to be disciplined by his truth. My daughters of Zion, you must have the ability to hear and honor that which Yah has placed before you. That's why he tells you, wives, to honor your husband. Honor them, reverence them. Show them honor. Hallelujah. Are we not the bride of Yahshua? Do we honor him? We better be careful how we respond so quickly. Be quick to hear and slow.
to speak. So we must honor him, my brothers and sisters. I was speaking to one other day, they called me on yesterday, right at dinner time. It's amazing what this world thinks it knows, and it's an ignorant world. And of course, when I talk to people, there are times that I get aroused. Because they draw from their corrupt mindset, and I draw from the book. And I said to them, let's go to the book. It has nothing to do with your opinion, your judgment. It is invalid. Now this is what the book says. Do you believe that? You can tell when people know that they're wrong, they get awful quiet. And so the quietness of the stillness. Hallelujah. There must be men of strength that will direct us as Moshe directed Israel by the guidance and the leadings of Almighty Yah. Did he not? We must have it. We're not going through the wilderness on our own. You're not going to make it. I don't care what you think or what you believe. This is the damn trust that the world has imparted into us. And that's why our teeth are bruised. And we have no pure love for Yah. So Yaakov expressed this love that is so beautiful. Of great compassion, friendship. Of great protection. And that is what the Ahava Yah's love does. He protects us. Does he not? I read that he gives mercy unto 1,000 of them that love him. And those that keep his Ahava, his mitzvah. He shows mercy. And he loves those, or those that love him, and keep his mitzvah, his commandments. And we know that we love him if we keep his mitzvah. If we keep the commandments of Yahweh. We can speak verbally all we want to, but it means nothing. It means nothing at all. There is an action to love. It is. Scripture says again, listen to this in Devarim, Deuteronomy. As Yah Moshe instruct Israel not to be united with the Canaanites. There were those marriages and things that were forbidden. And that's why you daughters of Tizayan, Yaakov waited for his wife. Yahshua is waiting for the bride, is he not? And we wait for the bridegroom. Do not be haste. Give yourself over unto those that are strangers of Israel to satisfy some sensual desire or drive. Many times marriages and things are based upon this sensual promotion. The daughter of Tizan, she prepared herself to be a wife. And she presented herself unto Yah as a precious gem. You go to those counters and those stores. I don't go, but if you pass one of the jewelry stores, it is one thing that they have the lights positioned properly so that the diamonds will glitter. And you can tell the ones that are the least expensive and the ones that are the most expensive because the stones are bigger and the brilliancy of light that reflect from those stones is great, isn't it? And so when a man finds a wife, he finds a tough thing. And he has the blessings, Yabraks, Hebrak, that man, the blessings of his word upon that man, the blessings of his riches upon him. He has that. And so when he blesses a man like that, she has the value of the Ahava. I'd rather have a wife that loves me and that's poor. And a woman that loves Yah, that to have one that could supply me with all the riches that one desires, that's not love. That's not love at all. I will express to us what that is and the form of what we call love, what that means. It says in Devarim chapter 7, verse 7, hallelujah. And Yahweh did not set his hashak. Now this is a love that Yah speaks here. It's a love that he attached himself to, that he longs for, and that Yah delights in his people. Deuteronomy 7, verse 7.
He says, and Yah did not set his hoshaka, this attachment of his love upon you, nor chose you because you were more in number than any people. For you were the fewest of all people. So he says, my hoshaka, my attachment. And that is what this pure element of his ahava is. There's an attachment. You know how some of you mothers are attached to your children? Hallelujah. You see, that's how Yah wants us to be attached, daughters of Zion, to your husband, man. You wait on their every little cry, don't you? You don't holler at them, do you? You don't fuss at them much. Come on here and talk to me. And yet you cannot be abusive or speak in a way to your husband, man. Husband, your daughter of your son comes. You attentively pay attention to their need, don't you? So what about the wife? Oh, I will, my brother. So this is what Yah says. He says, my hashak. This love, I want to express this to you that I'm attached to you. Don't you understand that you had nothing? You were not the greatest. I elected you because I want to show you how attached I am to you. I'm attached to you. I am hashak to you, Yisrael. And that's what Yah wants in the expression of this earthly covenant between a man and a woman, between brothers and brothers, sisters and sisters. In the house of Yahweh, He wants us to have this hashak, this expression that we are attached to one another. How is it that we are attached to the world, and yet we are not attached unto one another? Yah was not attached unto the Canaanites or the Hittites or the Jebusites. He was attached. He showed his hashak unto Israel. He was attached unto them. And that is the strength, one of the elements of this hashak of Yah. There's an attachment. And when you attach to one, you want to see them, don't you? You don't like for them to be out of your presence much, do you? Well, then one irritates me, but that's all right. I'm attached. Your parents, at times, do your children irritate you? Ah, yes. But you are still attached to them, are you not? You show that hashak. You show that attachment. You show that you're attached unto them. And Yah says, I want to show that I am attached to you, Yisrael, and nothing will separate me from my hashak toward you. That's what Shaul said. Nothing. I'm determined that nothing, because I'm attached to Yah, shall separate me from the hashak. This ahava, this great expression of love of Yahweh. Nothing shall separate me from this great expression. And we cannot allow anything to separate us. Nothing. I don't care what it is, you can't allow that. You cannot. We can't allow that to separate us from one another. We need this in us, brothers and sisters. We cannot continue to allow Egypt to bruise our teeth. We cannot. And we have allowed Egypt to bruise us much. For Egypt has taught you what love is, but it bruised you. It is not love. It is a false dissimulation of the spirit of Egypt. It's corrupt, it's vile, and it's a thing full of stench, and it is vile. And that is the truth. David speaks here in Tehillim, Psalms 91:14. He speaks of this hashak as well. He says in Tehillim 91:14, I want to read. He says, because he has set his hashak, his love upon me, he has shown me that he is attached to me. Yah shows us that he longs for Israel to walk in his bosom and the light of his truth. He delights, he desires Israel. What a man, hashak, he desires his companion. The wife desires her husband. She desires her husband, man. This is a generation that the wife doesn't even desire the husband. The husband doesn't desire the wife. You know that that is not the pure intimacy of the Hava, the Hashak of Yah. Because when one truly has that Hashak, there's a desire for one another. There's a longing for one another. You delight in one another. If we delight ourselves in Yah, will He not give us the very desires of our love? And that is the Ahava. He wants us to love Him. Is that not the most profound commandment He gives unto us? To love Yah with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And to love our neighbors as ourselves. So when we delight, when we show this this hashchaka, this love toward Him, then he puts that great delight in us. That we become attached to Him. I believe I'd rather be attached to Him than the world. I'd rather be attached to Him than Dow Jones. I'd rather be attached to Him than Warren Buffett. I'd rather be attached to Yah than Bill Gates. So He wants us to be attached to Him. Because He is attached to us, brothers and sisters. David said, because you have set your love, your hashak upon me. Yah said, because you have done that, David. Therefore will I deliver you. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He said, because you have set your hashak upon me. He said, David, I will deliver you. Because you have shown your attachment to me. Was not David delivered many times? Now, because he was attached to Yah, he was the apple of Yah's eye. I want to have that same expression unto him. I want to be the apple of his eye. Hallelujah. That's what I want. I want to have the same kind of hashak that David had. That he was attached to Yah. He desired him. He longed for him. I want to have that, brothers and sisters. These are elements of the Ahava of Yah. They're not complex. They're simple. We simply need to get it in us. We need to get our breasts, our bosom healed. And once we began to allow Yahshua to fill our bosom, we began to find the healing balm of Gilead. And our whole perspective will change. Our ideas of life will change as well. So we need the healing balm. We need the healing, nurturing of Almighty Yahweh. Again, back to Devarim, Deuteronomy 33. Hallelujah. Now this love I want to express, it is one that is a love that is fervent. And it's a love that cherisheth. It's a love that cherishes with affection. And it is a love that is hidden in the bosom. Scripture says in Deuteronomy 33 and verse 3, it says this, yes, oh yes, my friends, Yahweh, he habat, he loved the people, all his kidushims are in your hand. And they sat down at your feet, everyone shall receive of your words, Moshe. And this this love, this expression of love unto Yisrael, it is a fervent love. It is one that is rich with fervence. It's something about a fervent love. There's a great expression. There's a tenderness. There's an emotion attached to it. The touch and the feel. It creates the sensual pleasures in one. And that is what this habat of Yah should do to us. It should create this spiritual pleasure within us. That it emanates from us, brothers and sisters. Yah, he has his kidushim in his right hand. And he has expressed this kind of fervent ahava love that is rich. It is alive. The ahava of Yah is not a dead ahava. It is fervent. You cannot say you have it when you don't express the fervency of it. You have an emotion, but it's not the fervency of the ahava, this expression of his habad, this kind of love. It is a fervent love. It is one that knows that it is fervent with it, it cherish them with affection. You know how you do the little baby? You grab them, your kisses upon them, your tender, gentle hugs. We're awful quiet, are we not? Come on, husband. Come on, wife. It is one that cherished the moment. It is one that told yeah, because it cherished the moment to see with expectation to see the husband marry the wife. We must have that. Hallelujah. If we cannot have that kind of a hava toward one another, it is because we don't have it in us. And if we don't have it in us, then we don't have the same feeling about ourselves. That's why he tells us to love our neighbors, to love each other as we love ourselves. And the reason you can't do it because it's not in you, because you don't have any ahava, you don't love you. You can't cherish one another because you don't cherish you. You can't be affectionate with the husband or the wife because you're not affectionate with you. You don't know how to be affectionate with you. And not being affectionate with you, you certainly cannot be affectionate with Yahweh. He has affection for Israel. And he expressed it in the tenets or in the elements of his expression of Ahava to us. He left no ground uncovered. He wants to express unto us the very full range of his Ahava. He's filled with his affection. We must have in this Chabad, it has to be one of affection. It has to be one of cherishing. Parents, do you get so upset with your children that you will not feed them or tend to their cries? You don't do that. Yet, husbands, wives, and we toward Yah, we get so aroused in our emotions that we don't even know how to pray and trust Him. Because you don't have this attachment to Him. And when you don't have no attachment to Him, you will not honor Him. That's why the world teaches the women today and the men, you have your account, I have mine. There is no attachment there. That's not you. It is not of your way. He commands us to ahab, habat, to have affection, to show affection, to express that. Well, I don't know how to. Then begin to la ru'ah of Yah to fill your heart. And that it began to spread this great ahava. And you began to see the fruit of this ahava. These elements of these expressions of his ahava, his love, is just the fruit that comes from his pure love. And we have the full range of that. If we submit unto what he commands us, we receive it with a great delight. If we don't, then we will never fulfill these great promises in his word. That we can walk in these elements of his great ahava. It says in the 10th chapter of the same book, Deuteronomy, in the 10th chapter, verse 15. Here's a command here, an instruction. When Moshe, before his death, as he blessed Israel, he speaks unto them in Deuteronomy 10:15. He says, only Yahweh had a delight in your avat to ahab, to love them. And this ahab, not ahava, but ahab, it is having a strong emotional attachment to the desire either to possess or to be in the presence of the object. Do you understand that? He said this ahav, this love that it is one that you long for the presence of that one.
You desire to be in their presence. It is like the wife waiting patiently for the husband man to come home. And she's thrilled just to see him. She's delighted just to be in his presence. Brothers and sisters, something is wrong. When we take no great pleasure to be in the presence of one another, something is wrong, wife. When Yah has spared your husband man the strength of your home and brought him home, and yet there is no delight for his presence to emanate the house, something is wrong in our ru'ah. You need to get on your face and begin to pray, and you don't do that. That is what this ahaba. Yah delighted in our avat to ahab. That's profound. He had such delight in men like Abraham and Yitzhak and Yaakov that he ahab. He had a strong emotional attachment just to be in their presence. Now that's Yah. That he had this strong desire, this emotional attachment, this desire to either to possess or to be in the presence of that one or that people. That says a tremendous amount to me there. That Yah delights in Israel, that he wants them in his presence all the time. That is his expression of his ahab. That love, that I want you in my presence. Not saying I'm sick of you, get out of my face. Come on, husband. Come on, wife. Hallelujah. Yah says, I want you. I want you in my presence. I want you to be near. I want you to be close to me. I want you in my bosom. Don't you get tired of me lying? No, I never get tired of you lying in my bosom. Just lay here. Enjoy my breasts. Enjoy my breasts. That's what Kephar did. He enjoyed the breasts of Yeshua. And it says in another place in Yakahanda, where again, how he laid his breasts, his head in the breast, because he knew from that breast this shape or this power of the Hava of Yah comes forth. So we need that, brothers and sisters, to long, having this strong emotional attachment. It's a strong emotional attachment. When they're not near you, what's wrong? Your mind becomes occupied with their safety. Do you not think the mind of Yah is not occupied with the safety of Israel? Because he has a great love, a great ahab for Israel. His mind is occupied. He is possessed with us. There are those that have this jealousy love is crazy, is superficial, and they become possessed with one. You understand? So they try to follow them. They want to intercept the telephone calls. That they want to search their pockets. That's not what Yah. That's not his ahab. That's not Yah. He knows what's in us. That's why he said, Yahshua the cleanser, and to purge us of those things that separate us from him. And do it all that he did that to show us that he's attached. He wants to be close by us. The thing of it is, we just don't want to be close by him. We don't want to be close to Yah. The problem is not with him. It's with us. We do not delight to be close to him. We don't want to be close by. We don't want to be attached to him. It's almost like a big brother and a little brother. Everywhere he goes, the little one is attached. And sometimes the big brother says, well, you go home. I want to play with my friends. And the little one says, I want to be with you. No, you go home. And there were those big brothers. Everywhere he went, the little brother went. Everywhere he was attached to him. Okay, where he went, he was with him. And because there was such an attachment, the big brother didn't want to leave without the little one. That's the truth. Hallelujah. That's the way it is with Yah. Hallelujah. He's attached to Israel. He has this great ahab for Israel. It's a love of attachment. He wants to show us that. And that's why he gave the perfect offering, Yeshua, for us.
who battle with many things like David. David had great battles. He procured them because of his own rebelliousness and sin against Yah. But he says something here in Tehillim, Psalms 18:1. He says this. Now this love here, it is one that is deep. He says in Tehillim 18:1, he says, I will roham. I will roham you, O Yahweh, with my strength. I want to express the meaning in the Hebraic text of what this roham is. It is to love deeply. Hallelujah. That it caused your love to pain, to hurt. If you ever experienced that kind of love, I remember making that statement years ago, and there were those that thought it was of mockery. But there are those that have deep love for their wives, their husband, their children. It says to love deeply. And in this roham, his great mercy, Yah loves us deeply. And we was expressing the same roham, the same love. It is a love that is of great compassion. It is very compassionate. And it has a tremendous tender affection. We're not a very tender people. Hallelujah. He's going to touch us somewhere down the course of this road. It has great tender affection, and it has a tremendous asas, a great fervent compassion. And that compassion is one of great care, one of great concern. So David said, I will roham, roham, I will roham. There will be a deep, affectionate, ahava love for you. So Yah wants us to roham. As He raham us. And not only that, but He wants us to love one another that way. He wants, I tell you, brothers and sisters, we began to find this kind of expression of His ahava among Israel. And it began there in the home with the husband and the wife. That's why He commands you, daughters, to reverence them. You must be taught this raham. Of the elders, you must be taught the sahava. You must be taught the hain of Yah. That's why He placed among us elderly women to teach you the ahava. Hallelujah. And He says to the man, I will command you to love her, to be affectionate, to have a deep affection. You will know you have a deep affection when your hearts. You sense that even in the physical sense for your spouse. You will know that. Hallelujah. It calls it even almost skip a beat. Or you sense that deep.